Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah?
In this week's podcast, we're talking all about whether or not you should try to sound like a native. Is this a particular goal you have as part of your English language journey? Have you ever faced any prejudice for the accent that you have? Whatever your thoughts are on the subject, it's a really interesting one, and so you'll enjoy listening to our discussion about it. And of course, as always, if you head on over to our Instagram at reallife.english, you'll find a bonus lesson on this topic there. So make sure you check that out as soon as you finish listening to this podcast.
Yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
sensational
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're stuck in traffic, riding the bus, having a schwitz, or even
mimicking your favorite Real Life English fluency coach.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. So I'm joined here in the Global Studio, if you couldn't already tell. There's actually three of us this week. I think that's the first time that's happened in quite some time, between one and another jumping off and going on vacation. First off, the lovely Andrea is back from her time off. How's it going, Andrea?
I'm great, thank you. It's really nice to be back with the three of us together as well. I'm excited for this one.
Totally, me too. And where were you, just in case people are itching to know?
So I didn't actually go anywhere, but I had some time with family finally. So after about a year and a half, I got to see my dad who came to visit me. So I spent lots of time with him.
And you made us super jealous with the delicious food that you were whipping up with your dad, right?
Yeah, we kind of did a little tour of Barcelona eating out, but we also cooked lots of really nice Greek Cypriot foods at home as well. So I'm looking forward to sharing some with you soon.
And maybe have to mail some over Down Under for our other host, the one and only Thunder from Down Under, Ollie.
Hello, Ethan, Andrea. Good to see you both. Hello, everybody that is listening.
And then Ollie is going to be jumping on a plane very soon. I was going to say as well, but Andrea didn't jump on a plane, but you're going to be off as well.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe by the time you are listening to this, I might already be in the beautiful land Down Under, the land of the free, or is that what they say about America, the States?
That's
don't they?
The United States, yeah.
Damn it. The land of opportunity. No, we say the land of the fair go. It means if everyone tries hard, they will get a fair go. It means you have the opportunity to succeed.
I like that. I never have heard that referred to Australia. I've always just heard it referred to as like the land of extremely venomous animals.
And great people.
And great people. And shrimps on the barbie.
Oh, gosh. We don't say that. We don't say that.
Ollie, you said that people could listen to this while they're mimicking their favorite fluency coach. That might be a little bit difficult to listen and mimic, but you could shadow the podcast, right? And improve your pronunciation.
Yeah, absolutely. So you could listen to us and then basically repeat what we say and then listen to us back again to see if your pronunciation is quite similar to ours. And it fits in with today's topic, doesn't it?
So what is today's topic?
Okay, so today we are going to be talking all about accent and whether you should try or whether you should aim to sound like a native speaker. So you might remember that on episode 2 of the brand new talk show, Beyond Borders with Ethan, which is absolutely world-class and groundbreaking, that Hadar, our guest, said that the moment that you're able to communicate and express your feelings, your thoughts and emotions, then this is your language too. So today we're going to talk about the reasons why learners try to sound like a native and whether or not that's the right goal for you. And we'll also give you a few tips on how you can sound natural and confident without having a native accent. accent as well. So I'm excited to talk about this today.
Me too. And you said that the talk show is groundbreaking. What does that mean?
So groundbreaking means that it's innovative, it's new, it's fresh, it's something that hasn't been done before. And it is the first, you know, talk show aimed for English learners. I mean, we have a lesson on our Real Life English TV channel, and we also have like the same format, but in a talk show on our Learn English with TV series. So you'll be able to learn in the same format that you would with TV series and movies as well. So that's another great way to learn.
Most definitely. So if you haven't checked that out, we've already had some really fantastic guests on. We had Vanessa from Speak English with Vanessa. We had Hadar from Accents Way, which Ollie was just quoting. So she's in case you don't know her, she's an expert on accent acquisition. She's actually from Israel, but she has, you know, like a native accent and everything. And so she talks all about that on her channel. And then we had on Jack Askew from To Fluency. And the last one was with Anna from English Fluency Journey. So that one's a really great one too, because we talked about this topic as well. But in this podcast, we'll kind of, the three of us will delve into it a little bit deeper. But before we get into the main topic for today, Andrea is going to share a shout out from a very special listener out there.
Yeah, so today's shout out comes from Yuko, and he says, "Hello, I'm Yuko and I'm from Japan. I recently moved to the United States and started studying English. I was struggling by myself at the beginning, but I found you guys and I've been encouraged so much to enjoy my English journey. Thank you for the great work."
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much, Yuko.
What a great opportunity for Yuko to practice his English in the United States as well. So,
yeah, sometimes when you move to a new place, at first, it can be very difficult to make local friends.
Right.
It can be very intimidating, too, you know, if you're still kind of like learning the language, natives maybe don't feel so approachable for you at first. And
yeah.
You kind of have to like make your group of friends and stuff. So I'm glad that you found our podcast to practice your listening a bit and build up that confidence.
And we kind of like have spoken about in the past, and we speak about it Real Life English, that like, yeah, it's good to learn from a textbook and it's good to learn. But like when you arrive in a place for the first time, I remember when I arrived in Bolivia that as soon as I started speaking Spanish, I was like, what is going on? So it's quite difficult. So I'm glad that Yuko has found us useful.
So Yuko left us a 5-star review over on Apple Podcasts. So you can do the same and we might shout you out. And the really great thing when you do this is you're helping lots of other learners from around the world to have a lot of fun learning English with us, to build up their confidence, to understand fast-speaking natives, and to laugh at our antics. So before we jump into today's main topic, we have a very relevant quote from the one and only Sofia Vergara.
So I absolutely love Sofia Vergara. I thought she was fantastic in Modern Family. And she says, "I understand English. I read and write English perfectly, but the accent won't go away." Now, I think this is really interesting because obviously when she was in Modern Family, she had a strong accent and that was kind of the comedy side of her character as well. And I remember seeing interviews with her where she was saying, I think maybe on Ellen, where she was saying that she tried to reduce her accent and she wasn't getting jobs. She found it really difficult. And then when she finally just accepted it, that's when she landed this huge role.
Okay. What does that mean that she landed the role?
That's a good question. Yeah. It means that she got the part. So she went out and auditioned and she was successful.
Right. And what does it mean when she says that her accent won't go away? There's like a phrasal verb there, right? Go away.
If it won't go away, it means that it won't disappear. So she's basically, I don't want to say stuck with her accent, but she's kind of learned to live with the fact that she is always going to have an accent. And I actually think this quote is quite inspirational because like if someone as successful as Sofia Vergara can basically say, yep, this accent isn't going away, but I can, you know, understand and do everything in English perfectly well. I'm just going to own my accent. I'm going to accept it and just, you know, continue on with my life. And I think that's kind of cute.
And I think she says it's kind of like part of her heritage. It's part of who she is, you know, and she's proud of that Colombian background that she comes from, Colombia. So I think it's just one example of many, many people out there who are extremely successful despite their accent or even because of their accent, as is the case for Sofia Vergara, which maybe we'll mention some other people today. And
if you love Sofia Vergara or you just don't know her and you want to see more of her, we've done a few lessons over on Learning English with TV series with Modern Family and with interviews with her. So you can be sure to go and check that out in the show notes over on reallifeglobal.com. It'll also be linked in the description of this episode. And now let's jump into today's main topic, all about speaking like a native, accents in English, and more. Hey there, Real Lifer. Just a quick break from this episode to share a big announcement with you about the recent launch of the brand new Real Life English app, where Ollie, Andrea, and I, your Real Life Fluency coaches, will guide you beyond the classroom to live, learn, and literally speak English in the real world, which is to understand natives, speak with anyone, and connect to the world. So, how do we accomplish that with our app? To start with, you can listen to the Real Life English podcast, even this very episode, with digital transcripts so that you can follow along and develop your listening fluency, plus check dozens of definitions of all the most difficult vocab, idioms, phrasal verbs, slang, and much more that you won't find anywhere else or in any other podcast. And how would you like to develop real-life speaking confidence at the touch of a button by speaking with other learners while making friends across cultures? Sounds like a dream, right? Well, now with the Real Life app, it will be a dream come true. Download the app to listen to our podcast with transcripts and definitions whenever and wherever you want, and speak with people from all around the world. What are you waiting for? Join our global community today by clicking the link in the description of this podcast or going to www.reallifeglobal.com/app or search for the Real Life English app in the Google Play or Apple App Store today. And let us guide you beyond the classroom to live and learn and speak English in the real world. Aw, yeah. All right. Andrea, where should people get started?
So we've kind of mentioned this before in other podcast episodes as well. We've spoken about starting with why. So you need to think about why you're learning. What is your deep purpose for learning? What are your objectives? And through that, it's then going to help you to decide really what you want to achieve by learning the English language.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's kind of like if you come down to that deep purpose, which it's good to like reflect on this. So not just saying I need it because I need to get a better job or I need it because my parents tell me that I have to learn it. But if you actually dig deep and discover for yourself your really unique deep purpose for learning it, that's going to be a huge motivation for you. But that also will kind of like help you to figure out the plan for learning. So you can ask yourself, you know, for this deep purpose, for this objective that I have for learning English, do I actually need to have a native accent? And maybe for some people, I think it's going to be a small amount of people. Maybe that is the case. And maybe you are going to be motivated then to put in all the hard work that goes into really reducing your accent to the point where, you know, you might sound quite native. But I think for most of you that are listening, it's probably not the case. It's probably you'll be absolutely fine keeping your accent as long as you speak clearly, you speak fluently, and, you know, people can understand you without a doubt. So that's kind of a great place to start is figuring out your purpose and your why for learning the language.
Totally. And you mentioned about like your accent being part of like who you are as a person. And it goes back to the quote with Sofia Vergara. Like, you know, I'm going to use myself as an example again. Like, I will never be able to speak Spanish like, you know, a native speaker. I mean, what even is a native speaker? That's another thing that we could even think about as well. Mm-hmm. And I also think like having an accent forms part of your identity, because whenever I get in a taxi, as soon as I say hola or hello or how are you, they say to me, oh, where are you from? Like straight away. And some and I used to feel like shame and embarrassed that my accent like was so like foreign that they could understand that straight away. But then I thought, actually, no, my accent is a part of my identity. It's a part of who I am. And I'm proud to be from Australia and I want to like share my story with people. So it becomes part of like your story, your journey and things like that. Sounds so corny.
And that can be a little bit annoying sometimes, but it can be good, you know, in the case if you're learning the language, if you're learning Spanish and you get in a taxi in Bolivia and they ask, you know, where are you from? You start up you strike up a conversation with the taxi driver, then you're practicing, you know, the language and stuff. So in the end, it can be a way, kind of like a channel to allow you to speak even more.
Oh, to strike up a conversation.
I think that's probably pretty obvious from the context, but that's like another way of saying to start a conversation, right?
Yeah, I completely agree. It's happened to me as well, living here in Spain. Like at times I think, oh, wow, you know, I really sound Spanish. And I feel like because I learned Greek and some of the sounds can be quite similar, like sometimes we roll the R and things like that, I'm quite confident. And then I kind of get shot down when people are like, where are you from? Or they'll start speaking to me in English. But I've learned to accept that. And you're right. It can be a good starting point to have a conversation with someone or to get to know someone. And you can continue speaking the language to be practicing, but you already have something to speak about. So you can look at it in a positive way.
Absolutely. And if you need more motivation to learn, if you need to have a little bit more guidance about how you can find your why, that deep purpose that is going to push you forward when it gets really tough, then you can go listen to episode 215, where Justin and I talked all about that. And we can link that in the show notes as well. But moving on, we've kind of already talked about, you know, that it's really important to accept your accent and stuff, right? For most people, I mean, for most of us, it's just not realistic to ever fully get rid of our accent. And in the end, if we're really focused on that, then it might actually be a deterrent. It might actually demotivate us from learning because it's such a hard thing to achieve. So why do people tend to have this as their big goal? Because I think you talk to so many learners and you ask them, you know, what's your goal with your English? And they'll say, oh, I want to sound perfect like a native.
Yeah, I think a lot of it stems from prejudice, from accents, possibly, like maybe in certain cultures, maybe not everywhere. So people want to sound like a native because they feel that people will look down on them if they have an accent, which usually comes from the same culture, I think. It wouldn't necessarily come from actual natives in many cases, because, for example, when I meet someone and they're speaking English to me and they have an accent, like I'm just so curious to know more about them, where they're from, and I really admire them for the fact that they even speak my language as well, and I'm not judging them in that way. But I think in certain cultures that it can be that way, that there are certain prejudices or people maybe think, oh, why are you trying to speak if you speak that way? And I mean, I can't really put my head into it because I don't have that negative mindset, but I do think that's where it tends to come from.
And I think too, coming from English-speaking cultures, of course, you can always meet someone who's not very nice. But I think in general, Americans, Brits, Australians, we come from cultures where people don't tend to learn foreign languages very much, at least not to a point where they're able to like really hold a conversation. And so many times I think you'll encounter people who are just like very impressed by your ability to speak a second or third language or whatever the case is for you, that, you know, they're in no place to judge you based on your accent, as long as they can understand you, you know? So it's like, again, kind of coming back to communication really is the key, that people can understand you, that you speak clearly, right?
Totally. And actually, I was telling my Spanish teacher that English learners are so bad at learning other languages because they can always fall back on, they can always rely on English as a way of being able to, you know, make their way through life when they're traveling and stuff like that, because there's always going to be, you know, not always, but there's likely going to be someone who works in the restaurant, who works in the tourism industry, who can speak English. So I think like English learners are lazy, so they won't ever criticize you. And I feel like when I've tried to speak Spanish, that most of the prejudice comes from, you know, not my friends, they don't judge me, but it's from people who speak my native language, as you guys have mentioned.
Yeah, I think too, a lot of times people will be kind of like jealous or envious, you know, because you're doing something that they themselves can't do, or they're not doing, they're too lazy, or they're, you know, they don't have the confidence to go out and learn a language and to be trying to speak and stuff, right? And so they'll do whatever they can to put you down, to try to get you to give up because they're not capable of doing what you're doing. And so it might be today, you know, they're laughing at you because you have an accent, and then maybe you are able to like start speaking more like an American or a Brit or an Australian or something, and then they're going to laugh at you because, you know, you sound like you've lost your accent. So I think those kind of people, they're always going to find sort of bait, you know, to use against you and stuff. So I think don't mind those people.
They're toxic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think as well, sometimes people get competitive, don't they? Especially like, you know, if you've come to a certain country, maybe in the same time frame, and then the other person has advanced a bit more, like you tend to be a bit more judgmental, like you said, because of the jealousy and, you know, you get competitive.
I definitely know when I was younger. I mean, even now, sometimes maybe it like creeps up in my mind, but I definitely have been guilty about that in the past. Be like, you know, hearing another gringo or another giri, as we'd say in Barcelona, speaking Spanish or speaking Catalan, and be like, oh, I speak way better than they do. They sound way like an American. I don't sound at all like that. And in the end, you know, it's just kind of like trying to make myself feel better. So we talked about that for most of you listening, having a native accent isn't actually going to be that important as long as people can understand you and you speak clearly. There are some things that you can do, of course, to help this and stuff. And if you want to sound more fluent or you want to sound a little bit more native-like, for example, you could practice using connected speech when you speak. And this can be a good thing because it can kind of help make your speaking a little bit more natural. It kind of like, you'll link your words together, you know, so it doesn't sound choppy. You don't sound so much like a robot. But you don't necessarily have to do this because you can be perfectly comprehensible and not use connected speech. So I think this is kind of like a preference thing. You know, if you are curious about that, if you're interested and you want to put in some practice and stuff, that can be great. But if you don't use it, it's fine. People will still understand you.
Yeah, I think one of the most important things with connected speech is to understand it, learn it so that you can understand fast-speaking natives. I mean, it's what Learn English with TV series YouTube channel is all about as well, because that really is the key to understanding natives. Mm-hmm. And then you might even just naturally start using it without even realizing. And as you mentioned, you don't have to, but it can help you to sound more native-like without really focusing so much on your accent.
What would you say is like the difference between sounding native-like in this case, or maybe I'd say like sounding natural and having no accent or getting rid of your accent?
I think it's so hard to get rid of your accent because, using myself as the example as well, like sometimes I go out there and I really think that I have a really good Spanish accent and I'm like, yeah, I speak Greek, you know, I can speak Spanish, and people won't realize. Even when I speak Greek though, people know that I wasn't like born or grew up in Greece or Cyprus. So even from speaking from a very young age, it's very hard to have that native accent. But the most important thing that we always talk about is connecting with people and communicating clearly. And I think that's the most important thing here. I think it's really hard to get a native accent. But of course, if that's something that you aspire to have, go for it, work on it. Like, you're going to get closer to actually having it, but don't beat yourself up or, you know, bring yourself down about it if you don't quite make it.
Oh, you used some good terms there, to beat yourself up and to bring yourself down.
Yeah. So if you beat yourself up about something, it means that you're really hard on yourself. So, you know, you tell yourself, oh, you're so bad. Why did you do that? You shouldn't have done it. And, you know, you're very negative rather than having positive thoughts about it. Yeah. And if you bring yourself down, it means that, you know, you're thinking in such a negative way that you feel sad, basically.
That negative self-talk, it has to do with that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm.
We're our harshest critics. We always criticize ourselves.
Harsh. It's like really hard, right? If you said, like, you could say maybe you have a kid and you hear your wife or your husband's like yelling at the kid for something that they did, and you say, that was really harsh. Like, it's kind of like you cruel. Took it too far. It was too hard. Yeah, almost like bordering on cruel. So when you say you're harshest critic, it's like you're the same. It's almost like you could think of your inner child and like you're yelling at that inner child and putting him or her down and stuff. And, you know, you need to be gentle with yourself. You need to practice that good self-talk, that self-love and all that stuff, and realize it's all part of a journey that you're on. The latest interview, like I said, speaking to Anna, who is from Ukraine, and she sounds, you know, very much like a native. Like, I think most people, if they didn't know that she's from Ukraine, would probably think she's American. And that can seem very inspirational and stuff. But one of the interesting things talking to her is seeing how obsessed that she's been through her journey of mimicking and like shadowing and doing all these exercises to pick up on these different sounds and to really reduce her accent. Because, you know, speaking with her, that's something that she is very, very passionate about. And she loves doing all those things. She loves, you know, listening to Americans and trying to sound exactly like them. But I think a lot of people might be bored to death if they try to do a lot of these exercises. So it's almost like, two, you kind of have to go where your passion is driving you. So maybe if you're one of those people who is really curious about accents and you love like mimicking people and stuff like that, then, you know, go for it. There's great courses out there. There's great videos on YouTube that show you how to do this. And you can, like Ollie was saying at the beginning, you can mimic our podcast. You can mimic other audios and videos and things like this and try to really sound like a native. But at the same time, it's not necessary. Like even Anna says it herself that she doesn't recommend that to a lot of learners because they're not willing to put in that dedication. They're not so passionate about it and stuff. So if you don't have that, you're probably never going to make it. And maybe that's okay for you. You just have to find what does drive your personal passion.
Yeah, it's definitely a commitment, I think. You know, if that is something that you aspire to have, then you've got to put in the work. And of course, it will make it a lot easier if you actually enjoy doing that, because it can be quite fun. Maybe some people will just dabble in it and just have a play around with it.
What does that mean, to dabble in something?
If you dabble in something, it means that you try it a few times and you're not really fully committed. So, you know, like sometimes we joke as well when we try each other's accents and things, and it's quite fun and we dabble and experiment with it. You can do that. But then if you really want to achieve a specific accent, then you've got to commit and put in the work.
Yeah. It's almost like the Olympics of, you know, speaking another language is trying to really master that accent and stuff. And if you think about the same, probably most people listening, there's probably some sport that you enjoy playing or some sort of physical activity that you enjoy. But like, would you want to do it to the point where you would go to the Olympics? I think for most people, your answer would be no, because it takes so much time, dedication, early, you know, getting out of bed super early to do the practice and doing small, minuscule things over and over and over again so that you'll like correct the mistakes and whatnot. And I think for most of us, it's just like, it's not practical. We have lives, we have other things that we want to do. And so you kind of have to think a lot about that, like, you know, to what degree is this important to you to be able to speak like a native, for example? And are you willing to put in all of the hours and the sweat and the tears that are going to go into that?
Yeah. If you put in the sweat and the tears, you're putting in all the hard work. Sorry, that was tough to follow.
I'm just imagining someone doing like exhaustive pronunciation exercises to the point where they're actually like sweating, you know, from the physical exertion.
Yeah.
You might, sometimes when you're like really practicing those difficult sounds in your mouth, it's like your mouth cramps up. Maybe you'll start like crying from the pain. So you have to ask yourself, am I willing to suffer those tongue cramps?
Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our real-life native immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use real native English and make it a permanent part of your life in a way that is fun, natural, and convenient. The best part is you can try it for free with our 3-part Power Learning Series. We will send it to your email. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod. That's P-O-D to sign up. Now let's get back to today's podcast lesson.
So I would highly recommend that if you're interested kind of like in these topics that we've been talking about, we've done a couple other podcasts. Of course, we had the interview with Anna, which by the time you're listening to this, that will also be out. And we also did the interview episode 130 with Rachel, who is also a pronunciation expert. But it's interesting also talking to her about this, like her points of views on whether you should really try to speak like a native. And I think she's more of the mindset that, again, it's much more important to speak clearly, to be intelligible, that people can understand you. And the one with Hadar too, we quoted her at the beginning and she talked a lot about this. So I highly recommend like listen to those. Don't just take our word for it, as we're all native. So listen to other people who are on the same journey with you and hear about their experience.
Yeah, I definitely think that will be really beneficial as well. You know, like you said, don't just take our word for it. So by that, we mean don't just agree and follow what we are saying, but get other opinions out there as well.
Something else that I find really interesting is kind of thinking about where people's ideas about and goals to want to speak like a native come from, thinking about how pop culture has affected that.
Yeah, I think over time, like, I'm not sure maybe if this is improving now. I don't know. Maybe I need to, like, look into the history of movies a bit more, but definitely in pop culture and in movies in particular, people with accents would often represent villainous characters, you know, so like more of the evil characters, maybe because of the fact that it's more foreign, like it would be more scary, which of course is absolutely wrong. But I think this is definitely something that is depicted in movies for sure. And I mean, it probably still happens now, but just the first one that even sprang to mind for me was like a James Bond movie. And I think the villains always tend to have an accent and are foreign. And yeah, even now, actually thinking about it.
Like the last one with Javier Bardem, right?
Yeah.
Who's a Spanish actor, of course. I think even like in The Lion King, doesn't Scar have like a some sort of foreign accent? And then like Simba is an American actor or voice actor, right? So it's like even thinking about like an animated thing where it makes no sense because it's like lions, they're from the same place. Why would one of them have a foreign accent? And it's kind of, I guess, something, it's playing to people's inner xenophobia, right? Which is kind of like fear of, is that like fear of things that are foreign, fear of things from the outside, right? So, and this is something I think people tend to suffer from innately, and maybe Hollywood plays on that a little bit. And it's built up that inner voice that says like, you have to speak like a native, which as Andrea said, that's not at all true.
Definitely.
And I think too, it's interesting to look on the other side. There's been actors, I mean, we talked about Sofia Vergara, who has kind of like been able to break this. I mean, she used hers more for comedy. I'm not sure if that's such a positive image either for people, because a lot of learners I know are very scared about being laughed at. But I think Arnold Schwarzenegger is also someone who's been like very legendary in being able to kind of break the mold with being very successful in Hollywood despite his accent. So, I mean, he's played a lot of movies too where it had nothing to do with his accent, you know, but he still has maintained it. And it's interesting looking at people like this too, because they have all the resources that they could possibly need if they really wanted to get a vocal coach and remove their accent. But he hasn't done it because it's part of his heritage, and he's actually sees it as something that makes him really unique as an actor.
Do you know what else I find funny about Hollywood is the fact that like actors from the UK, when they come to Hollywood, they have to like put on an American accent, right? I remember watching a TV series last year, and then I went to this person's Instagram and followed them, and then they were speaking in a British accent. I'm like, hang on, what? Like, you know, like the obsession with the American accent within Hollywood is also quite interesting. Maybe it's another topic as well.
Margot Robbie, for the longest time, I had no idea she was Australian. I mean, she's does an excellent American accent, but then it's like you hear her speaking, she has like a really thick Australian accent, and it's like shocking, you know, if you have never heard that before.
And then you have actors as well, like Penelope Cruz, Salma Hayek as well, who have kept their accents and are really successful in Hollywood as well. So it just goes to show you that you can be successful without having it, but then you do also have this fight a little bit against the characters, maybe the roles that are available to you, and just kind of how it works, unfortunately.
Yeah. Or do you know Arina Huffington?
Yeah, she's Greek, isn't she?
She's Greek, yeah. And she has a very thick Greek accent, but I mean, it almost becomes like a calling card. It's again, like the same with Arnold Schwarzenegger, or Penelope Cruz, or Sofia Vergara, that it's something that makes them really unique. So I don't know. Do you want to sound, if you go to the United States or something, or the UK, it's like, do you want to sound like every other person there? Or do you want to have something that, you know, sets you apart? So I think that can be an interesting argument and stuff. But we've been talking a lot about this, and we could go on, I'm sure, for hours on this topic. As I mentioned, if you want even more, we have a lot of other podcasts that we've talked about that will be in the show notes of this episode over on reallifeglobal.com. And also remember that we have an exclusive lesson related to today's podcast that you'll find over on our Instagram at reallife.english. So be sure to go and check that out as well. And we'd love to hear what you think too. So send us, you know, a direct message on Instagram, or comment on that post, or comment on the show notes on the blog if you don't have Instagram. And we want to hear what your opinion. Do you want to speak like a native? And why is that your goal, or why is it not your goal? So that said, we look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Real Life English Podcast. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes, like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our real-life native immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our three-part Power Learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.